As the ultimate arbiter of what Walt would have done, Walker's influence was pervasive. But Miller had been trying to break out of the creative straitjacket by carving out another brand name, Touchstone Pictures, for riskier, adult-oriented fare. In 1962, he and Diane had watched To Kill a Mockingbird with Walt and Lillian at their home screening room. When it was over, everyone was moved, and Walt said, "I wish I could make movies like that." Even Walt had felt constrained by the Disney brand. As he put it in one outburst, "I've worked my whole life to create the image of what Walt Disney is. It's not me. I smoke and I drink and all the things that we don't want the public to think about." Miller had vowed that someday he would make adult films at Disney. Walker had resisted for years. "We have our image," he insisted. But once Miller was chief executive, he'd relented. Miller established Touchstone and tried to bring in some new blood to run it. His first choice was Michael Eisner. Given his success at Paramount and the attendant publicity, Eisner was an obvious candidate for just about any studio but Disney, which had traditionally resisted hiring outsiders. But Eisner already had two projects underway at Paramount that he'd persuaded Disney to co-finance: a musical version of Popeye, directed by Robert Altman and starring Robin Williams, and a medieval fantasy epic, Dragon Slayer. Both were troubled projects that ended up losing money. Still, Miller liked Eisner, thought he had a good sense of humor and creative instincts, and asked him and Jane to join him and Diane for dinner at Ma Maison, home to celebrity chef Wolfgang Puck. Diane found Eisner charming, if a little over-eager, like a puppy. Afterward, they were standing outside waiting for their cars. Eisner got a grin on his face and leaned toward Diane. "There's something I've been wanting to ask you," Eisner said. "Is he..." Diane cut him off. "I know what you're going to ask, and no, Dad isn't frozen." She couldn't believe Eisner would ask her about the rumor that her father's corpse had been used for an experiment in cryogenics, which she considered as credible as reports that Elvis was alive. In fact, she told Eisner, Walt had been cremated after dying of lung cancer in 1966. Despite that jarring note, it was a pleasant evening. Miller liked Eisner, too. They had several subsequent meetings, and Miller suggested that Eisner come to Disney to run motion pictures and television. "Ron," Eisner responded, "I'm bigger than you right now at Paramount. I make three times as many pictures and do really well. So if I come here, I want to be president and chief operating officer. You could be chairman and chief executive. I'd work for you." Miller seemed to like the idea. Walker was planning to step down as chairman the following year, but he realized it would be tough to sell Card Walker on the idea that an outsider could be COO of Disney. Several days later, he called Eisner to report that Walker had objected. "You don't know the theme parks." "You can handle the parks," Eisner suggested. Miller suggested they meet with Walker. When Eisner arrived, Miller and Walker had just been arguing about Splash, the first live-action film from Touchstone. While Splash was hardly another To Kill a Mockingbird, Miller also had in development more serious fare like Country with Jessica Lange and The Journey of Natty Gann with John Cusack. But Splash, produced by a young Brian Grazer and directed by Ron Howard, was certainly breaking new ground for Disney. It starred Daryl Hannah as a